This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. Maui, Hawaii State. Officials search for remains of Maui victims and answers for how the wildfire turned so deadly. Wall Street Journal. Subhead, forthcoming investigations are likely to surround how the fire started and whether officials could have given residents more warning once it grew. Jeff, a very good evening to you. We talked about this late Friday, and what we were dealing with at that time was a lot of unknowns. They were still searching the rubble, the remains, and that search continues. But we're starting to hear about the alarms, the communication system, and the power. Let's start with the power, because that was a story that you followed very carefully when it came to the wildfires of California. The power lines in Maui, you've been there many times. Are they as near the forest as they are in Northern California, where they were suspect of starting fires? Good evening to you, Jeff.
Good evening, John. So when you're talking about the California wildfires in the forest areas, it's a little different on Maui. While there are some, you know, wooded areas, what you do have is big open areas with grasses and all sorts of other types of plant species that when it gets dry, like it has been, it's just been kind of a drought condition there. They dry out. They become this really, you know, explosive fuel for fires. And what had happened, according to some of the videos we've seen, as well as I spoke with an attorney who's handling, it looks like, class action lawsuits there coming up as a result of all this, is that power lines fell because they had very high winds as a result of the hurricane that passed several hundred miles away from Maui. It's usually windy there, but these were very, very hard winds that came in, did some damage. That included knocking down power poles. And some of these power poles might have been old, or just might have been such a force of wind that they got knocked over. But according to the lawsuit, what the allegations contain is that the Hawaii Energy Company kept those lines energized. And in California, what they've learned over the years is when the power lines go down, or when they're going to go down, they de-energize the lines. Now, you often get a lot of guff from people who live in the area who aren't affected by the fires that say, well, we lost power. That's not fair. There's no fun there. But the truth is, if the lines go down, you keep them energized, especially in these areas where all these very fuel-rich environment is, you're bound to have problems. So when you have a fire start, you know, whether it's a spark or something from a transformer that creates a fire, and you have the high winds still coming in, these high winds not only push the fire ahead, you know, it creates this firestorm with this wave of fire that moves forward, but it also carries embers and other materials in the wind as it blows. And so what can happen with these fires, what we've seen in California and also appears to happen in Maui, is that the materials are swept up in the wind and in the clouds and get thrown over in front of the fire quite a distance, oftentimes in front of where people are evacuating or trying to evacuate. And then the fire closes in from two sides. And in some cases, that's what it looks like in Maui. Very tragic situation.
And we move to communications. As I understand, there was a fire alarm. There was an alarm system. There were also communications to people's iPhones. Let's start with the alarm system. I've read two reports, one that it wasn't appropriate for fires, and two that it didn't go off. Help me understand this.
So there, Maui, many places throughout Hawaii, as well as the mainland, have now instituted these alarm systems through the phone company, the phone providers, mobile system providers, the fire departments, and other first responders, so that when there's a massive catastrophe that could be in the works, they can alert as many people on their network as possible simultaneously. Now, there seems to have been a situation where this did not occur because of the massive power outage throughout Maui. And so that's one thing people are pointing to as the reason behind the problems with the evacuation. The other thing that didn't seem to happen for them, and I don't know if this was a question of power or somebody didn't hit the switch in time, but if you go to Hawaii, there are siren systems, and you see them on poles throughout the islands, and they play a very important role. And they used to call it civil defense, but this is for hurricanes, which they experience often, tsunamis, which are not uncommon in the Pacific, and other problems, earthquakes in some places, volcanic eruptions on some of the islands. So they have this siren system that's out that everybody can hear. I remember several years ago, we did a report about the fake missile attack from North Korea on Hawaii.
Yes, I remember it. I remember it very well. And the cell phone and the alarm were involved in that, but I don't remember the resolution.
That's right. Well, in that situation, they understood that it was a mistake. It was a button that was accidentally pressed, and they made apologies. But this time, they're not sure why people didn't hear it go off. I know that one of their congresspeople was talking about it today. She said she didn't think it went off. But some of the people on the island said, you know, even if it did go off, or if some people did hear it go off, typically we tend to think of that as a tsunami warning, and we move inland. And if you go move inland in a situation like we had this past week, you're running into the fire. So there's some thinking that might have been at play too.
Now, the third possibility is evacuation. I've asked about evacuation before. Is it mandatory? I know I checked in Australia, Jeff, since we talked. In Australia, if you stay in your house, the authorities will not come in and oblige you to evacuate. But if you go outside on the street, they will then oblige you to evacuate. They want to do what the homeowners think is best, and they want to make sure they have enough water and are watering their roof. But it's a mixed picture about evacuation. What is the situation in Hawaii?
In Hawaii, again, it is mixed, and they will have mandatory evacuations, because when you leave people behind, whether it's, you know, your concern over their well-being or what they might try to do when they, you know, often what happens is people will stay behind and say, I'm not leaving my house. And then when they realize it's a lost cause, they'll get in their car and jam down the street. And so does everyone else that lives in that neighborhood. Well, it blocks the way for first responders to not only get in and fight the fires, but to evacuate themselves as fire overtakes them. So they're very serious about evacuating people when they can. In this situation, it might have just come upon them too quickly, because, you know, there had been fires burning throughout the islands, not just Maui, because of different situations. But as they saw the fire, you know, on the over the ridge, the smoke and things like that, I don't think people really realized how quickly it would get to Lahaina Town and other parts of Maui, how quickly it would spread. They just don't have that kind of experience dealing with wildfires like that. And neither did, you know, the firefighting teams. They didn't understand how quickly it would move through that area and into the town and through the town. So it was something a lot of people really weren't ready for. They obviously hadn't really done much in the way of making sure that evacuations could take place. So many cars, so many people caught in narrow streets, dead ends. I think as the week goes on, we're going to find more and more, you know, bodies that are found, and we'll see more and more of these stories appear where people were just trapped with nowhere to go.
The question that is implicit in all this, was there a plan B for all of these instances? Was there a backup on the alarm? Was there a backup on evacuation? Was there a backup on communication? Those are the answers that they need to find. Is that correct?
That's correct. Certainly in the days, weeks, and probably the months and even years that come, in terms of evaluating how they could have made it safer, better, easier, faster. But, you know, when the fire pushed people into the water, literally at the ocean, that quickly tells you something, that they had nowhere else to go. They couldn't get out of there in time. When you look at the cars that are, you know, all scrunched up in the street, one against each other, where they couldn't move and the people died inside them, that tells you that they didn't have a plan, or they hadn't executed a plan to get the people out of there or to a better place. It just happened so quickly. And as the fire department keeps saying, they were just overwhelmed. There was just nothing they could do about it. I think what this will lead to is new procedures, new policies, and probably even new ways they build or deal with their housing there, because they just can't go back, as beautiful as it was, they can't go back to exactly the way it was without dealing with the possibility of this happening again.
We do not have a count of casualties yet. It keeps climbing. The Wall Street Journal reporting in these last hours at 93 confirmed deaths, but more to discover, more to learn about Maui. Moving to the mainland, watching Maui very carefully, Jeff tells me that Hawaii and California are not only twin states, they're attached in some magical fashion. What happens in Hawaii doesn't stay in Hawaii. It goes right to California and vice versa. In California, the very large story of these last weeks is the Writers Guild strike and SAG-AFTRA strike. And Jeff, in the Wall Street Journal, there's suggestion that the studio heads and their chief attorneys are talking to the unions. There's even the suggestion that Bob Iger, newly returned to Disney, has now joined into the conversation. Is that gaming or because your sense of these things? Do the studios want to settle? Is it going on long enough?
Everyone wants to settle it. I've been watching some of the things that actors have been saying. They're feeling kind of desperate. A lot of them are at not just their wits' end, but their bank accounts end. They're worried that they're going to lose everything if it goes any longer. Southern California is now probably looking at least a $4 billion hit in terms of the economy with the strike. And the studios are starting to say, wait a minute, this is not benefiting us anymore by staying out like this. We need to find some resolution. So you're starting to see some of the name calling come down. You're starting to see more willingness to work with each other. And even in the Writers Guild strike, it's a dual strike, the Writers Guild and the Actors Guild. The Writers Guild are restarting their negotiations with the producers, with the studios. So I think it's a hopeful sign. I wouldn't bet everything yet. I think it could still drag on for a while. But even if they come up with something, I can't imagine it being ratified right away by either guild.
What I remember most vividly right now is that original controversy about trimming those trees. What was that outside NBC Universal? And the suspicion was that the trees were trimmed in order to make conditions hostile to the picketers outside, because the trees wouldn't shade the street during a heat wave. Now, that seemed to me to be an unusual interpretation, but I remember it now as a sign of bitterness on both sides. Do I read that correctly in retrospect, Jeff?
Oh, you're correct. I think that's going to be looked at as one of those moments that people say, see, the writers and the actors pointing to the studios and saying, see, they don't care about us. They're evildoers. And the studios are saying, well, we got to do what we got to do here. So it's that act has kind of come to embody a lot of things about the strike action, actually, what's been happening on both sides.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.